Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sign Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday. QT and Sign Guy with you like always. Today we have the unfortunate responsibility of passing along the news of some wrestlers that have passed away this past week. We lost Chavo Guerrero Sr., Nicole Bass, and George the Animal Still all in the last week. So in their memory, we will honor them with the 10 bell salute. With that responsibility done, if you're looking for some wrestling in the next couple of days, WCWO running tonight in Indianapolis, Indiana at 1151 South Kentucky Avenue, H2O in Williamstown, New Jersey, PSW in Piedmont, Alabama, APW in Daly City, California, New Wave Pro in Terre Haute, Indiana, the NWA in Wolf, Franklin, Kentucky, and Brew City Wrestling in West Allis, Wisconsin tonight. Tomorrow night, SCW in Bremerton, Washington, where you can find me, CPW in Seattle, Washington, Lucha Pride featuring the first defense of the Lucha Pride women's title by Casey Carlisle, whom I love, in Mineola, Texas, SCPW in Oceanside, California, Full Throttle Pro Wrestling in Lake Park, Florida, TSW in Monroe City, Indiana, ECW in Pensacola, Florida, FPW in Maryville, Indiana, PWE in Jackson, Mississippi, NWA in Crowley, Texas, as well as Amarillo, Texas, AIWF in Hillsville, Virginia, as well as Chattanooga, Tennessee, WE in Nelsonville, Ohio, and LAW in New York City, New York tomorrow night. So QT, sounds like a lot of wrestling going on, lots happening in the Puget Sound alone.
Yes, Sign Guy, things are definitely, you couldn't really say heating up because they never really abated. Like low tide and high tide, there are some ebb and flows. But, you know, wrestling continues to be something in the Northwest that you can catch weekly. And speaking of new developments, kind of like an ebb tide, there are rumors out there that are now confirmed that we now have a Turnbuckle Turmoil Hall of Fame inductee selection. You can contact either Sign Guy, myself, or Dimitri for details. The winner will be DeMarcus James.
Indeed, congratulations to DeMarcus on that. We'll be getting his plaque to him very soon, and I believe our guest has joined us. Do we have Charlene with us?
Okay. Yeah, hey guys.
Well, Charlene, welcome back to the show. It's been way too long since we've had you, and you've been a busy young lady in that meantime. You've been doing all kinds of work in the wrestling business.
Yeah, that's right. Refereeing and running my ring out, yeah.
Indeed. Now, since we last had you on the show, the ring rental is something that is new. You have a very nice professional ring that you rent out to promotions. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how you got into that aspect of the business?
So I ended up wanting to buy a wrestling ring because I figured, you know, why not, you know, one of those situations. So I came across a deal that I just couldn't pass up. So I bought a ring. Now I have a sound system, a trailer. So pretty much got everything you need, a stage set up. So if anyone in around Louisville, Kentucky, the surrounding areas within, you know, 2 or 3 hours needs a ring for an event, you know, all kinds of different stuff, conventions, birthday parties, wrestling, you know, do it all. So.
Now, this is relatively new. How has the business been as far as renting your ring out to different events?
I mean, it's been good. I mean, now I'm starting to make sure I have a security deposit because, you know, everyone is talk and then, you know, you miss out on other opportunities. But, I mean, learning lessons. So it's gone pretty good, though. So I like to have, you know, more, but it's kind of hard to a lot of people want, you know, to have the building included and all that. So it's kind of harder to rent the ring out.
One of the promotions that you've been really active in the last year or so for is something that you haven't done, I believe, as the last time we had you on the show is OVW. Can you tell us how you got into Ohio Valley?
Okay, so how I got into – hold on 1 second. Of course, my mom's trying to call in while I'm talking to you all. So I've grown up, you know, on and off in Kentucky. I've lived in Florida and Kentucky, you know, my whole life. So I grew up going to OVW, like, as a teenager, you know, and always some place that I wanted to go. Didn't know how, like, when I would get involved. I originally wanted to train there. And this past year, you know, I noticed that they didn't have too many referees and things like that, and I know a bunch of people that are involved in OVW, so I just started asking around and got in contact with, you know, the powers that be, and, you know, he was like, well, I guess we'll see how this goes, and, you know, obviously that's turned into me being there for almost a year now at this point, a little bit over, you know, probably about 9 months I've been there at this point, so.
Ohio Valley not only is renowned for being a great promotion, it is also a training ground for professional wrestling. They have one of the most comprehensive wrestling schools anywhere. Obviously, some of the people that you work with at OVW are going to be a little bit newer, going through the training school and so forth. What's it been like taking part in the early development of a lot of these wrestlers?
It's one thing I really like to help out, you know, the young green kids that are in the locker room. There's, you know, that's definitely true. There's a lot of kids that are, you know, in the business way, you know, way less time than I am or others that are around them currently, you know, and I feel like it's, you know, it's everyone's responsibility. If you feel like you see something that isn't really protecting the business or it's something that can definitely be improved on, you know, I always try to give advice, even if, you know, that person might not think that I'm the best to give advice, I'm still going to at least put my input in so that, you know, so they can take that, you know, and grow.
Now, at OVW, they have, like we said, some of the better trainers that you're going to find there. What's it been like with having a job at a promotion where you've got that much knowledge, that much experience from the people that run the promotion, run the school, where in a lot of places you're going to have someone that wanted to run their own promotion, decided to start up a school, and they've got maybe a couple of years, less than 100 matches under their own belt. What's it been like going to a place very reputable, very solid, and has the pedigree that OVW does?
I mean, it's helped me out a lot, you know. Like, people before that didn't seem interested and booked me, you know, now that they're like, oh, you're a part of OVW, you know, it definitely holds a name, and it's, you know, and I feel honored to be a part of the people that have came through there. You know, you have so many people that have trained from the beginner's class or, you know, just, you know, started off as a professional wrestler, and there's some people, you know, that just signed to WWE and went through there. But it's still, it's pretty awesome to sometimes, like, watch WWE and be like, hey, you know, I've been in the same locker room as them, and, you know, I've worked out in the same ring as them, and this and that. It's a pretty cool experience, you know. And I love OVW. It's definitely something I was lacking was, you know, TV, like, learning how to work, like, TV-style stuff and, like, TV-style shows, because you can have so many – you can go to so many different, like, wrestling shows across the country, okay? But a lot of places are lacking the production value that OVW has, okay? They don't have TV. They don't have regular TV events and things like that. So it's pretty awesome being there and, you know, sometimes sitting in the control room and just listening to how everything goes down. So it's one of those experiences where you just, you know, you just keep you keep your mouth shut and you just soak in all the knowledge you can get from it.
One of the other places that you're a regular for, and also largely out of the Louisville area, but they have shows all over, is Girls Fight. That, of course, the all-girls promotion. What's it been like getting in at the ground level for Girls Fight?
Well, Girls Fight is pretty cool because, you know, I'm the first ref that was ever there. You know, I've been at the company since it started. Like, most people think it's just something new, but the first show we had was back in 2012, and Crazy Mary Dobson wrestled Jazz. You know, it's pretty cool to see it continuing on for throughout all these years. And, you know, I think at the point now, Pondo's had the promotion run shows in, like, 10 different states. So that's pretty cool, too. Because it's more of just, like, huh?
When you wrestle for or work in general for a promotion like Girls Fight, where it's all girls, you being a female referee, do you think that's to your advantage because it's keeping with the all-girl theme, or do you think that it's something that a lot of the girls aren't really used to having nothing but girls on an entire show?
I mean, that's true, too. I mean, it's rare when you get to a promotion that's all girls. Like, there's promotions that are claimed to be all-girl promotions, but they have girl ringing, or they have a man as a ring announcer, you know, doing commentary. And, I mean, the only thing that I think has a non-female role at Girl Fight is, you know, commentary. But everything else, you know, we try to have a girl ring announcer, referees, you know, everything is just females, which is awesome because to be able just to work just solely with females on a show instead of, you know, it's, you know, something where we can showcase what we can do, you know.
At the national levels, like your WWEs, TNAs, Lucha Undergrounds, you don't really see them utilize female referees unless it's a special guest referee role or if it's a really gimmicky match where two girls will have another girl as a referee. When you're watching the major promotions and you're at a high level where you can hang with anyone, male or female, at what you do, what's going through your mind when you see the lack of female referees?
I feel like it's just the reason why there's not a female referee in WWE. I feel like there hasn't really been, you know, since the 80s, there was only one female referee. I don't even remember what her name is. But since then, I don't really feel like there's a lot of women that get involved in refereeing. They just get involved in either wrestling, and then, you know, they fail at wrestling, and then they go to refereeing, and then they realize, you know, like, okay, let's be honest. There's a lot of women that get involved in wrestling, and their boyfriends are wrestlers or whatever the case is, and I feel like a lot of women get involved in that, and they turn either into a rat or they go into a role, and they try to become a wrestler, and, you know, they just can't handle it, or they become a valet or referee, and a lot of times I feel like people think there's not a lot of female referees, which there isn't, but, I mean, it's not like the 1% or 2% like you think there is. There is some girls that do try to referee, and then they end up, like, just stopping. So I don't know if it's just because – and I've noticed a common theme is their, you know, boyfriend or whatever the case is has been involved in the business. So I feel like with me, and there's a couple others that, you know, I've met that actually take it serious, you know, it's – there has been a girl I know that just – actually two female referees, Yuki Lee in Japan. She got a WWE tryout. And there's a girl named Carly Rae, which is out of Chicago, and she got a WWE tryout. Other than that, I don't really know of, you know, really good female referees. But I feel like in the next, you know, 10 years with, you know, everything being more quality, you know, quality, like even see WWE has more, like, black referees, which you didn't see previously. I feel like eventually they're going to have, they'll hopefully have, you know, a female referee. And, you know, I hope to be, you know, hope to be that, so. Or if I'm not in WWE, to be at least in one of the top players, you know.
One of the things that any referee has to worry about but hopes it doesn't happen during a show they're on is injuries. I know you've been in there when wrestlers have been injured. What's some of the injuries that you've seen when you've been in the ring with the wrestlers during a match?
Like injuries that I've seen wrestlers actually attain?
Right.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I got that right. Well, I had a situation, and I don't know if I've brought it up last time I was on the show. It was at IWA when I used to work at IWA. It was Colton. I can't remember his last name on his work name. And then Oakview Adam and Christian Skyfire. They were having a triple threat match. Okay, and this has got to be the most scariest experience I've ever had in wrestling, where I really felt like I was going to see someone die right in front of me. And I, you know what I mean? I don't wish anybody to ever see anything like that. It's, you know, it's a pretty fucked up thing to see someone just start having a seizure, and you feel like you're going to see someone that, you know, you're a friend with pass away. He did a dive over the top. I forget what the exact name of the dive is, but he did a dive over the top, and they were on the outside. Christian Skyfire and Colton were on the outside going to, you know, catch him. And his feet got caught on the top rope, and he pretty much DDT'd himself on the concrete floor, you know, and I couldn't believe what I saw. I looked at Colton, and I was like, is he okay? Because, you know, at first I was like, you know, is he selling? And he started to have, like, a seizure, and he was like, no, he's not selling. And it was a really scary experience. You know, look, I'm glad, you know, he's okay. But at the time, you know, everybody in the crowd and, you know, the workers, we were all scared for this man's life, you know. It's just one of those things where you just got to be safe in the ring with what you do, you know. And there's even simple stuff that, you know, crazy situations happen and you can get hurt. So, but that's probably the most insane thing. Like, Ian even had the footage pulled from Smart Mark, so it's not available, you know, as respect for Adam. So,
as someone that recently witnessed a seizure backstage, I can totally relate and agree with you there. Never a good day at the office, right there.
Yeah, it's not good at all. So, and this was like instantaneously. It wasn't like something, you know, they get back to the locker room. Because I've seen, you know, people have seizures in the locker room, which that's scary too. But, like, I thought he was going to be, like, paralyzed. Like, he just started shaking and it foaming from the mouth. It was nuts. So.
Now, you obviously, in your career, have come across a great number of fans. And everyone in business that is in it for any length of time has interactions with the fans. What's been one of your favorite memories of interacting with a fan?
That's a good question. it's definitely nothing I've never been, you know, I've never been asked that before. There was a fan that, you know, really liked me, and, like, they used to give me, like, cards, you know, like, cards anytime they'd see me, like a holiday card or birthday cards, and it was this, I can't even remember her name now because she's passed away like so many years ago. But, you know, her husband still comes to the shows, and he even comes up to OVW sometimes to see me. But that's probably one of the fans that, like, you know, is one of the coolest things. It's, that you have, like, a personal, you have an impact on someone's life, you know, that they would go out of their way to send you cards and come to shows and things like that. I don't know if I could think of an exact moment, like, I mean, that was
I'm sure there's shows where you get asked for autographs a lot. The
yeah.
very first time that you were asked for an autograph, what was going through your mind?
It was a pretty cool experience, I guess. I just felt like, you know, I was like, man, this is awesome. You know, like, I go to shows and I ask for people's autographs, and I mean, that, to me, that was, it was a pretty cool moment, you know. So, one of those other moments where you're like, you know, I have a, kind of have an impact on someone that they actually want my autograph, you know, so.
Well, at this time, my co-host QT is standing by. I know that he has questions, so Thez, help me as I pass things along to QT for a bit.
All right, cool.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Hello, Charlene. Welcome back. Charlene, for the month of January, the Los Angeles area has received more rain than Seattle, although the totals were pretty close. This
okay.
weekend, the L.A. area could receive 4 inches, and the foothills to the east of Los Angeles could receive a foot in some places. So for the last 10 weeks, Los Angeles will probably receive near 18 inches. Will this be as much as the Kentucky area where you reside?
Well, I think that's kind of crazy that they're going to have that much rain, because I know California, it rains like 3 times a year, so... Well, in L.A.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, our weather's not actually being bipolar right now.
Oh, all
right. Yeah, I know you always joke about Kentuckiana weather. No, we've had a steady, like, 60 for the past 2 days, so we're good.
Charlene, being from the Kentucky area, do you see
yeah.
any way that wrestling will be combined with a Kentucky Derby?
I don't know if we can, like, I don't know if we can take a bump, though, is the issue I see with that. I mean, we could have jockey wrestling, I guess. They could all have gimmicks and stuff.
Oh, okay, jockey wrestling, okay. Could
yeah.
you ever see any time...
put them under a mask, yeah.
Could you see any time where a person would bring a Kentucky racehorse to a wrestling event?
Hey, that's a good idea. OVW does a wrestling show for the Kentucky WW Festival at the Waterfront, and I'm going to have to pitch that. We got to get a horse now, just because you brought this up.
I think if during intermission at an OVW event, a lottery winner, say like they
yeah.
pay double the price of a brochure at
okay.
The start, could receive a free horse ride at intermission. That would be big.
Hey, that would be a first. I mean, I've refereed a show in a horse barn before.
You did?
Yes, and you're gonna laugh, but this is not. It wasn't even in Kentucky.
It was,
Chicago, actually, for Resistance Pro.
Oh, Resistance Pro, Billy Corrigan's organization.
Yeah, I don't know if he's really involved with it too much anymore, or maybe he is. I don't know. I just haven't seen that he's been up at the shows, you know, recently, but. No, they had a show at like a horse barn, but it was a really nice horse barn that like people had weddings and, you know, other events at, but yeah, it was still a horse barn. So that's pretty interesting.
So this was a high end horse barn.
Yeah. Yeah. So it wasn't like straight up dirt and wooden walls and stuff like that. But there, it was still a dirt floor. So yes. So I would still consider that a horse barn. Okay. Even if it was nice.
Now, can you tell us that some of the wrestling participants that were at this venue?
I think Mr. 450, Mickey Knuckles, I think Crazy Mary Dobson, Pondo, Norris was up at that show with us, I know. Probably Jay Bradley, because he does a lot of work up there. I don't really remember who else. I mean, this was like 4 or 5 years ago, like when the company first started.
Now, are there any truth to the rumors that Crazy Mary Dobson challenged Madman Pondo to a horseshoe throwing contest after the event was over? I heard rumors.
Oh, did you hear? No, I'm sorry. Yes. That's not true, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Charlene, right before you came on, we had a 10 bell for George the Animal Steel, who passed away recently. Did you ever have a chance to meet George the Animal Steel?
Yeah, I actually did one time. Wasn't at a show or anything. It was at a convention. Me and Pondo went up and introduced ourselves to him.
Oh, wow. All right. How did Pondo and George the Animal Steel get along?
Good. I don't really remember too much of the encounter. I just remember that we talked to him for a minute and, well, you know, in between him taking pictures of people. So it was pretty cool.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Charlene, since you are into the wrestling ring selling and renting, do you see any new frontiers in the area of wrestling ring development? And I say this because in the 60s, they had some of the first Virginia coal miner glove on a pole match with Northwest wrestler Dutch Savage. Many wrestlers felt the wrath of Dutch Savage, such as Bull Ramis and Rip Oliver, when he snatched the coal miner's glove off the pole first. Do you see any, say, like pole development in ring wrestling development?
I guess you could have a show at a strip club. I mean, could that count as something? I mean, you're talking about all these poles. That's the first thing I think of.
Oh, okay. Well,
you never know. We've done shows at strip clubs before, so it won't be the first and it won't be the last time. So.
What? You're very prolific. You mean to tell me that you've done shows at horse barns and strip clubs?
It's professional wrestling, yeah. I've done shows at bowling alleys, you know, armories, like typical, you know, places you go to, churches. I don't know. I'm trying to think of any other weird venues. I can't think of any. I mean, they'll kind of come to me, but I can't. Two different strip clubs. So first one is Rustic Frog in Southern Indiana. So if anybody's ever going to the boat in Elizabeth, Indiana, you go hit up the Rustic Frog before you go, okay? We'd have shows. It wasn't in the inside. It was actually outside the strip club, but we'd have a lot of after parties there, and things would get out of control. So, like, IWA and Evolution Pro would run some shows there.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, did you yourself bring a lot of single dollar bills to the Rusty Frog?
Well, of course. I got to help single mothers. Come on now, I'm doing my service.
Oh, now that's stereotypical. They might not have been single mothers. They could have been single fathers.
Okay, they're all going through college, okay?
Yes. Oh, okay.
They're putting themselves through college stripping, too.
Kind of like a Chippendale dancer.
Huh? Oh, no, I think that would be a good idea if somebody had an all-men's wrestling show with Chippendales, though, too. Like, have the workers do Chippendale act afterwards. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
If somebody
right.
did it right, I'm serious. It would draw some good money, though.
I'm sure it would, yes.
You could charge more than a regular wrestling show. You charge like 30 or 40 bucks.
Well, yes. Okay. See, now you had a high-end show at a high-end horse barn stable.
Yeah.
Why couldn't it be a high-end stripper club wrestling venue? Stripper club, yes.
Strip club? I don't know. I guess I could eventually work on doing something like that.
Perhaps like the Cat House in Fort Lauderdale, like Motley Crue sang about, the Cat House.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, these places won't be high-end strip clubs, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
I guess I'd have to find a nice one, right? So, yeah, and then the other place, we had a girl fight show at Trixie's, which is a strip club in Louisville. So, a lot of people, some people got offended by it because they were like, it's an all-girls show at a strip club, but a lot of us, most of us didn't care, you know. And the strippers wanted to come out to the ring with a lot of the girls. It was funny. But we told them, you know, they can't because they don't have license. So, because they're not licensed in the state of Kentucky, they couldn't be a part of the show. So.
Now, isn't ODB from the Kentucky area?
She's from, I think, Minnesota, which I just met her recently, and she was really cool. She was really nice, and she came in and did the OVW 900th episode, so I got to referee her match, so that was awesome.
Wow, okay.
I'm pretty positive, yes. I think she's from Minnesota. That's where she's from. But she has, like, a food truck now, and she goes to, like, music festivals, and she sells, like, barbecue sauce that she made.
Oh, well, a barbecue sauce, an ODB barbecue sauce?
Yeah.
Wow, fantastic.
Everybody tells me it's pretty good. I haven't tried it, but I guess I'll check it out next time, right? Next time I see her.
Oh, okay. Wow, I'd like to get a hold of one of those bottles of ODB barbecue sauce.
There's like a whiskey flavor, and then there's like a, I think there's a hot one. You can actually order it on her website. Go look it up.
Wow, all right. I will do that. That's my homework assignment. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
It's like I still got to watch, you know, what's that movie? Blazing Saddles. I still haven't watched it all the way.
Oh, you haven't watched Blazing Saddles all the way. My God.
Yeah, you all
okay.
keep telling me every time I come on here, and I just keep, I'm just a bad student.
Now, what's the latest part in the movie that you have got to?
I can't even tell you, to be honest. I don't know. I've watched it a few times, like, up to a certain part, and then I just fall asleep. So, I have ADD, so it's hard for me to, like, watch something, like, to watch a whole movie through.
I see. Maybe this would be where the outlaw Mondo has all the cowboys backed into the saloon corner by piano, and it's leaning against the piano and trapping the cowboys.
What? Is this a part of the movie, or are you just ribbing me?
Oh, no, that's Mondo, the big cowboy who Gene Wilder befriends, has a bunch of cowboys leaning against the wall and pinned against the wall by organ or piano. Yes.
Okay.
Mondo, the outlaw that punched the horse and knocked the horse to the ground. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Well, Charlene, track and field underwent a track revolution or design or a quantum leap in development when cinder tracks in the 1950s that Myler who broke the formula? A Bannister, yes, Roger Bannister ran the first 4-minute mile on a cinder track. In the 60s, cinder tracks were replaced by faster rubberized tracks. Do you see any new frontiers in the wrestling ring business where wrestling ring surfaces will change? Wrestling ring surfaces.
No, not at all. I don't know how they would really change.
Do you see a time where wrestling ring surfaces will take place on old cinders like they ran in track and field? Cinders.
What do you mean by cinders? Like, is it concrete? I'm kind of, I don't know. I don't get what you mean by this.
Cinders is more like gravel.
Oh,
yes.
No, hell no. I'm not putting a wrestling ring on gravel.
Oh, okay. Do you
we gotta
ever
have some level ground, okay?
Oh, level ground, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. How about if the ring is tilted slightly on hydraulics to give it a slight uphill swing? Now that's a development.
Hey, I've refereed a show and the ring was like on a hill and it was the most odd shit ever. The most goof wrestling nonsense ever, I swear. I mean,
wow. That
was one of those places where you're like, I better be getting paid good to deal with this nonsense, so.
Wow. Okay, did you...
Yeah, it was really odd. And, like, I remember the guys running on the ring, and they were like, yeah, I'm going to bust my ass. And I was like, yeah, probably so, because this isn't level at all. Like,
At any time during that match, did you have to lay down with your feet higher than your head, and you were laying down on a downslope counting the three count? That's my question.
I slid out of the ring as I counted the three count.
Oh, okay.
It was just like, slow. So.
Now, do you ever see a time where a wrestling ring surface could be made up of pineapple fibers where the loser will have to cut a silhouette of a pineapple fiber suit and wear it and thus create kind of like a cutout silhouette of pineapple fibers that the ring surface was made out of?
I guess so. I mean, I guess anything's possible with drugs, right?
Well, yes, I guess so. I'm just saying that the pineapple fiber is very durable and has many uses. I'd like to see one.
I mean, if we get to that kind of technology, I guess we could, right?
Yeah.
We could somehow, you know, have pineapple to be ring padding or something. I mean, sure.
Yeah, I think you should do some research into pineapple fibers, you know, and maybe come up with a ring service. Okay.
I'll just eat pineapples instead because I like pineapples.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to have to do that research.
No worries. All right. Well, Charlene, it's often said that life would you agree that wrestling imitates art?
I feel like art imitates wrestling, okay?
Oh, okay. Art imitates wrestling, okay.
Yes.
Were you a big fan of Van Gogh?
Huh?
Were you a big fan of Van Gogh?
No, not at all. I don't care about paintings.
Oh, okay. How about Salvador Dali and his melting clocks?
You know I'm not going to have any idea about this, so I have no idea about any kind of art.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I can have you here.
I'll call my British aunt that's an art teacher. How about that?
Oh, now what does he or she teach? Art history 101.
I don't know if she teaches art history. I just know she's a high school art teacher for an all boys Catholic high school.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Yes.
Okay. Well, your homework assignment is to look up surrealist painter Salvador Dali and his famous painting, The Melting Clock.
See, I've heard his name before, and I think I've seen some of his paintings, but I can't, you know, put the paintings, like, figure out what paintings there are right now. You know,
The only reason I mention this is I myself have seen a work of art, a painting by a Northwest wrestler broken over another wrestler's head. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anything's possible in wrestling, right?
Yes, although I do believe that this painting was a paint by number, you know, paint already. All right. Well, Charlene, we play a game here, Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk, where the interviewee is given a choice between two subject matters. Picture yourself on a psychiatrist's couch, and you are given the choice between two subject matters, and you have to pick one or the other. Are you ready to play this psychological thrill?
I guess so.
Oh, okay. All right. Wyatt Earp or Billy the Kid?
What'd you say?
Wyatt Earp or Billy the Kid?
I don't even know who the first person is that you just said.
Oh, well, Wyatt Earp was a sheriff in Tombstone, Arizona.
Oh, then how am I going to know who that is? I guess... Like, what? I feel like this whole show is supposed to be like a rib on me. This is nonsense to catch you off guard, like...
Well, now, Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk, and word associations have long been staples of our show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
See, I remember, like, word association, but I don't remember the funk game, okay?
Bring on the choice, bring on the funk. Okay. Well,
you're
very adaptable, okay? Just picture yourself on a soothing couch. There are no right and wrong answers. That's the joy of this.
Okay.
All right, how about Doc Holliday or Valentine's Day?
You said Dark Holliday? I couldn't understand what you said. I heard Valentine.
Doc Holliday. He was also a Wild West figure closely related to Wyatt Earp.
Okay. I guess Valentine's Day. That's more relatable to you know, my life.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Although I could really hope you could travel back in time and receive a Valentine's Day gift from Doc Holliday. That would be very good.
That would be pretty interesting, I guess. So
okay.
Not the Doc Holliday part, but just to travel back in time.
Oh, all right. Oh, okay. Yes. All right. The Eiffel Tower or Statue of Liberty?
Statue of Liberty.
Okay. Honey Badger or Wolverine? Okay, Wolverine. Now, there are reports and rumors in the Northwest that we're trying to get Sign Guy a nickname, the Honey Badger. Yes.
You're going to nickname him the Honey Badger?
Yes.
Okay, so has he been, like, giving his money out to women?
No, but Raven has not paid him back, like, $10 that Sign Guy loaned Raven.
That doesn't surprise me, though.
Oh,
you can't give money to any workers. Come on, now.
Wow. Oh, my. Okay. All right. Battle of the Bulge or Battle of Little Bighorn?
Good one. Battle of Little... I don't know. I'm undecided on this.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now, remember, the Battle of the Bulge, Germany's last offensive blitzkrieg against the Allied powers. Okay. All right. How about 2017 Hyundai Elantra or 1862 Stagecoach with primitive internet?
Oh, I want the Stagecoach.
Oh, okay, Stagecoach. Okay.
Could you imagine just going in the city downtown drunk on a Stagecoach?
In Tombstone, Arizona.
Actually,
I
just had someone. I just had someone do that a few weeks ago. We went to Atlanta, and my buddy got drunk, and we got on a horse carriage. While he was drunk, it was the greatest thing ever. And then he decided he was going to give us a lap dance while we were on the horse carriage.
There you go with your lap dances again. You're very.
I know it always goes back to the strip clubs and the poles. Always.
The strip clubs and the horse
carriages.
See, I could see you sitting up the next true frontier in horse-drawn carriages would be a strip pole. Yes.
Oh, my God.
yes, have
$8
a strip.
For
a
10-minute ride.
Yes, like, you know, just like on Seinfeld where they took that horse-drawn carriage through Central Park and the horse was fed pepperoni and he got gas. Yes, the horse got gas.
Huh.
Oh,
you're
okay.
A mess, man.
All right, how about 20-hour-old Burger King coffee or fresh-ground Blue Mountain Jamaican coffee with Alaskan glacial water?
How about I decide to pass on the coffee for the day?
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think that'll work. Yeah.
I think Sign Guy himself would choose the 20-hour-old Burger King coffee. Yes. Okay.
If it's iced coffee, I can only drink iced coffee.
You mean iced
coffee
made with the chips of Alaskan glacier?
Yes, sir. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes.
Okay. How about Amelia Earhart or the Red Baron?
Amelia Earhart? Come on now.
Oh, okay. All right. Can you tell
That's
us how many airplanes the Red Baron shot down in World War I?
I have no idea.
Yeah, he shot down 80.
I feel like I should have called my Uncle Tom before this, too. He's a history teacher, and I could have been like, or called Brittany, my girlfriend, and she would have been like, oh, hey, he did this, and this, and I'd be like, I hate you, because you know everything.
Wow, okay. All right. animated cartoon American Dad or The Simpsons?
Simpsons. Yes, The Simpsons.
Oh, okay. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your favorite Simpsons character is?
I don't have a favorite one.
Oh, okay. I was going to think it was Mrs. Crabapple, the Bart Simpson's elementary teacher, Crabapple.
Oh, super old lady? No.
Okay. All right, how about Rockstar Energy Drink or 32-ounce Red Bull?
Man, that's a hard decision, okay? Look, because I love Red Bull, but Red Bull, like, I can't drink it that often because if I have one of them, I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack. And I like Rockstar. But if I have to pick and I don't have the side effect of feeling like my heart's about to explode, I would say Red Bull.
Oh, okay. Red Bull. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, may
because
I
I'm
recommend
drinking,
you...
If I'm drinking, like, alcohol and I want an energy drink, then I'll have Red Bull. Have, like, a Vegas bomb. Yeah. Or vodka and Red Bull. Yeah.
Okay. May I deeply recommend to all our listeners, never drink a 32-ounce Red Bull on an empty stomach and combine it with black licorice while getting on a trampoline.
Well, who the fuck decided to do that?
Oh, you know those college pranksters, initiation type thing. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, how about Geronimo or Sitting Bull?
Why are you wanting me to pick fucked up events in history?
Well, Geronimo had many wrestling-type abilities, and it is rumored that Geronimo and Abraham Lincoln were supposed to meet in a wrestling match. It's true.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I have no idea.
No, I'm going to put you down for Apache leader Geronimo. That's what I'm going to put you down for.
All right, cool. That works.
Okay. All right, Coco Beware or Swiss Miss Hot Cocoa?
Coco Beware.
Oh, okay. All right. Connecticut women's Division I basketball win streak that just hit 100, or Edwin Moses' 107 straight 400-meter high hurdles win streak in the 70s?
I don't even know who he is, but I'm just going to go with him, okay?
Oh, okay, Edwin Moses.
Because,
okay.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't like UConn.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
No, because they're one of those schools that, and don't get me started, on these powerhouse schools that nobody else gets a chance in anything.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Alabama in football. Like, I can't stand Alabama in football either. Like, can you just stop being so good and let somebody...
Well, now, Alabama did lose in the national championship game, so that's something. Okay. Well, Charlene, it was good talking with you. Keep an eye on those L.A. rain totals for this weekend. And I hope that you look up the rest of Blazing Saddles. And I hope you have new developments in the pineapple fiber wrestling ring surface development.
Okay. I'll research it. Definitely. I'll make
Very
sure
nice.
Monday morning that's the first thing I do at work.
Oh, okay.
No
All
emails.
Right.
I'm going straight to figuring out how to build shit with pineapple.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay. Back to you, Sungai. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, QT. Well, Charlene, I know that on many shows you are the lone referee that is working. It's often a long night when that's the case. Do you have any particular cardio regimen that you do in order to make sure you're able to keep up when you are the lone referee?
Not really. Just hope I don't get too blown up, I guess. Which I am going to start doing cardio and start running again. So.
Have you ever been on a show where, in fact, you did blow up and you weren't able to continue on with the match or
a particular show?
Never.
I know throughout your career, you've picked up advice here and there from some of the veteran wrestlers around. There's a lot of veterans that are located in your area. What's been the single best piece of advice you've ever been given in your career?
I traveled with Rob Conway recently, and he was just giving me advice here and there, but I can't really think of one specific thing that I would say would be the best advice. I mean, the one thing that some people always say is to put yourself out there all the time, and I feel like that's the thing that's helped me the most recently, because I didn't really focus too much on social media, creating pages and, you know, inviting people to stuff, and I feel like the only way to really get out there is you're going to have to put yourself over, and you're going to have to put yourself out there, because no one else is going to do the groundwork to make you successful, you know what I mean? But I don't really have any that advice I've been told. You know, there's stuff here and there that I hear, and I'm like, that makes, you know, absolute sense, and that's what works, but I can't put.
If a young kid were to come up to you today and their dream in life was to become a professional wrestling referee, what's the advice you would give to them?
Do it because you love it, because if you're trying, there's plenty of people that thought that referee other sports that come into wrestling thinking that they're going to make good money. That's definitely not the case. You have to love wrestling to be a part of it. And if you're in it for the money, you're not going to last.
Now, like I mentioned, there's a lot of veterans located in your area. Louisville was the home of the USWA. Well, not the home of it, but it was a city in the USWA. So a lot of people remained in Louisville over the years.
Okay.
Just in your own opinion, who would you say is the biggest name that you've got to work with in the Louisville area that was from that area?
Or that worked for USWA? There's so many people, but I mean, I would guess the number one person, because I haven't worked with Jerry Lawler, so I can't use that, you know. I would say Bill Dundee.
He was a major name in Louisville during the USWA run, absolutely. Well, we're down to the last few minutes of the show, so I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you would like to say, plug and promote anything, social medias, upcoming appearances, the ring rental, your favorite dry cleaner, anything in the world you would like, the floor is all yours.
Okay. Okay, so if you're interested in coming to any shows that I'm at currently, go to ovwrestling.com. We have weekly TV tapings at OVW. 7:15 is the time of darks, 7:30 for TV. Usually I'm at Jeffersonville, the arena, every Sunday for OSWA, which has a lot of older OVW guys and some kids that are first getting started out. Really good product, too. They're starting to grow. And then if you want to get in contact with me about bookings, my email address is Charlene, that's CHARLENE, McAnally, MCANALLY, at yahoo.com. And if you search Charlene McAnally on Facebook, you can find me. And I can always direct you to my fan page, too. And like I said, if you're interested in a ring, to run a ring for an event in the future, just contact me on Facebook or by email. And, Sangha, thank you so much for having me on the show again. But you have any other questions for me right now?
I think that will do it today. But thank you very much for joining us once again. Always a pleasure to have you. You're always welcome back. And best of luck with not only the ring rental, but as you continue to move upwards in the referee portion of your career.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Sangha, for having me. Appreciate the support. All right, you have a good day, okay?
All right, you too. All right. Fans, if you get the chance, get out there, support what Charlene's doing. She's an outstanding referee, one of the very best you'll see in there. Find her at Girl Fight, find her at OVW, multitude of other independents in the Kentuckiana area. Also, if you're a promoter and you need a ring, her ring is very, very nice, very professional ring, so give it some consideration. We'll be back with you Sunday afternoon. Tommy Swanson out of Cascade Championship Wrestling scheduled to be with us, so join us on Sunday. You can catch me at SCW tomorrow night in Bremerton. We'll see you then.
Yes, please.